But first, the Trump administration has released its new national security strategy, which warned, among other things, that Europe faced what it called the stark prospect of civilizational erasure. The United States pledged to support patriotic parties that oppose immigration and promote nationalism, a reference seemingly to the hard and far-right parties on the rise in Europe. The 33-page document also pledged to use lethal force to defeat drugs cartels, which it said would replace the failed law enforcement-only strategy of the last several decades. And it's the controversy surrounding the use of lethal force that's dominated the headlines in Washington this week.
Lawmakers in Washington today are set to review video from a U.S. military strike that killed nearly a dozen people on a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean in early September.
One lawmaker saying it was one of the most troubling things he has seen in public service.
Any American who sees the video that I saw will see the United States military attacking shipwrecked sailors. Bad guys, but attacking shipwrecked sailors.
This rises to the level of a war crime, if it's true.
No, I support the decision to knock out the boats and whoever's piloting those boats.
That was exploded in fire or smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war.
All this comes as President Trump has ordered the largest U.S. military deployment in the Caribbean since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. Its mission is to stop the flow of illicit drugs and to exert pressure on the Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who the Trump administration claims is playing a key role in the drugs trade. Let's talk to Phil Gunson, a senior analyst at the International Crisis Group, who is based in the Venezuelan capital, Caracas. Phil, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
Let's talk in a minute about what's happening in the Caribbean with those U.S. strikes on boats suspected of trafficking drugs into America. But first of all, tell us about the mood in Caracas as a U.S. fleet amasses over the horizon off the shores of Venezuela. Tell us about that mood.
Yeah, well, you know, if you didn't know what was going on out there in the Caribbean and you just parachuted into Caracas, you really wouldn't notice anything much different from ordinary times. People are going about their business, I suppose, largely because, you know, there's very little that ordinary Venezuelans can do about it, little or nothing. This is a fight between Maduro and Trump, if you like, and Venezuelans are just spectators for the time being. So, you know, this is a country facing a severe humanitarian emergency that's been going on for the last decade, and people are mostly concerned with, you know, going to work and trying to put food on the table.
Let's talk about what would be the pretext of military action against Venezuela by the United States. The claim that Maduro is running a narco-terrorist cartel flooding the U.S. drugs. Give us a sense of Venezuela's role in the drugs trade.
Well, first of all, Venezuela is not a drug producer. It's a transit country. It shares a border of more than 2,200 kilometers with Colombia, which of course is the country that produces almost all the cocaine in the world. And naturally enough, some of that cocaine flows through Venezuela to markets primarily in Europe, actually, rather than the US. It's a relatively small portion of the cocaine going through Venezuela that eventually finds its way to the US. And I think the other point to make is that the big issue in the US in terms of drug deaths is really fentanyl. And fentanyl is not produced in Venezuela. Fentanyl comes mostly from Mexico across the U.S.-Mexican border. So in that sense, it's kind of a misdirected effort.
And also these allegations from the Trump administration that Maduro himself is a narco-terrorist. What's the basis of that?
Yeah, well, they claim that there's this thing called the Cartel de los Soles, the Cartel of the Suns, which is a term here in Venezuela that goes back many decades. It was coined back in the 1990s as a kind of jokey term to refer to the involvement of certain high-ranking military officers with the drugs trade, primarily in the sense that they take money from the cartels in order to facilitate the transit through Venezuela. And that phenomenon has grown, there's no doubt about it. And there's considerable impunity here. Maduro does preside over a government a country, I should say, where there's no rule of law, where if you're loyal to the government, you can more or less do what you like. So there's a degree of truth in it. But the idea that this is a cartel and that Maduro is sending cocaine to the US to undermine the US government, or as a form of terrorism, I think, is wide of the mark.
Phil, I'm fascinated what you said about the mood there in Caracas and how sort of calm things are and how people are just going about their daily lives, because Caracas over the years has been the scene of such big mass demonstrations on the streets of capital. I covered them myself back in 2019. As ever, we saw these mass demonstrations. We wondered whether we were going to see the end of Maduro. I'm kind of fascinated why the opposition in Venezuela hasn't seized on this moment and sort of agitated in the way that it has in the past.
Yeah, well, we're not seeing mass demonstrations anymore because people are scared to go on the streets. Mm. As many of you listeners will remember, back in July of last year, there was a presidential election which the opposition candidate Edmundo González won by a very large margin, and Maduro simply refused to accept the result, said that he had won. And there were demonstrations at that point, many of them spontaneous, not particularly organized by the opposition leadership. And they were put down with great severity. A couple of dozen people were killed, 2,000 or so were jailed. And since then, naturally enough, people have, you know, not been very keen to go out in the streets again. The opposition leadership is either in exile or in hiding or cowed one way or another. So that's part of the problem we're facing at the moment. You know, this is, as I say, a battle between Trump and Maduro over the heads of Venezuelans who don't really have much of a say.
And one of those opposition leaders, of course, is Maria Corina Machado, who won this year's Nobel Peace Prize. Is that why the Maduro regime has hung on for long? I've seen it myself. They are so brutal when putting down these demonstrations. Is it just the fear that they have managed to engender?
It is, and also to some extent the demobilization that's natural after you put enormous amounts of effort into an election campaign. You know, the build-up was tremendous. The idea that, you know, González was definitely going to win, you know, that Maduro would have to concede because the margin was so great. And people after that naturally felt deflated. They feel that the moment passed, and it's really hard to build back from that into some kind of effective movement. Of course, the leader, Maria Corina Machado, you mentioned, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, she's been in hiding since the election.
I'm fascinated how Venezuela is watching what has been happening in Washington this week. We've had these congressional hearings. They focused on the attack in early September by the U.S. military on a speedboat in the Caribbean that the Trump administration has claimed was smuggling drugs. A second missile was fired at the vessel, which killed two survivors of the first blast. There have been these allegations of a war crime. I mean, briefly, Phil, are people really keeping a close eye on these congressional hearings? I wonder how they're playing in Venezuela at the moment.
I don't think it would be fair to say Venezuelans in general are looking at this closely. The media here is, of course, very tightly controlled as well. So most people are not well informed about even what goes on in Venezuela, let alone what goes on elsewhere. But obviously, you know, the political class and the pundits are watching it. And I don't think, I mean, Venezuelans are obviously concerned about what Trump might do to them on land. But to be honest, I don't think that these strikes on drug boats in the Caribbean have had a big impact on the population in general.
Fascinating. Phil Gunson, a Caracas-based analyst for the International Crisis Group. Thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thanks very much.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.